This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
The last quarter when the game was decided, like, it was Brown and, like, they were both trying to get their scoring average up to see who was going to win. But, like, it feels like we hold Tatum not getting finals MVP against him more than we held it against Steph. Like, you know what I mean? And I would argue it was dumb. The fact that we gave Andre Iguodala finals MVP to this day will always drive me insane. Like, I hate him as a basketball player. Like, I don't think he's any good. Like, it just will always drive me insane. And Steph is a generational player. But, like, I do wonder, are those two things related? Like, is our view clouded by just two arbitrary results?
I think there's a lot to it, and I think overall, though, my answer to your question is I don't know, because we knew the face of the league was going to be LeBron, and it was for a long time, and you could argue still is, but the next step feels like we've got the possibility of Wemby, Jokic, Luka, Ant, SGA, and then Tatum, or if you want to lump Tatum and Brown together, however you want to do it. Like, it doesn't feel like we have a clear-cut handing off of the baton, which I would argue is good for the league. I think, you know, it's funny, when you think back to the four straight years of Warriors-Cavs,
yeah.
I think, I don't know what the television ratings were. I think year one and two, obviously with the comeback in 16, it was great. But the last 2 years, it got, you know, a little tiring, right? You're like, okay, can we get some new blood here? And then we ultimately did. And since then, you know, the NBA, for everyone who thinks it's just, you know, a star-dominated league, we've had what? Since 2018, we've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We've had 6 different champs and no back-to-backs.
We've had no repeat, and I don't think, have we had any repeat finalists?
Well, the Warriors have been there. They went in 18, 19.
Right, but I was trying to say
22
from the last spot. Because I think the last repeat finalist is the Warriors in the 18 finals and the 19 finals.
Correct.
So we have bubble 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. So the last 6 or last 5 we've not had. I don't think we've had.
Well, the Heat have been there twice, but not in back-to-back years.
Correct.
And yeah, that's it for, and the Celtics have been there twice, but not back-to-back years.
But not in consecutive years.
Correct.
Yeah, like, I think the thing that I've enjoyed about the NBA playoffs is, now, this year's going to test me, but, like, it has been nice to get into a playoff series going, like, I really don't know who's going to win. But I almost wonder, though, is the league in a more comfortable spot when they can tell us what the narrative is? Because you know what I mean? Like, I think that's kind of the issue that they're struggling with, is they don't even know what they want their narrative to be.
Right. Do you want Oklahoma City, Cleveland? Probably
right.
not.
And you and I would enjoy the hell out
sure.
of that. But like,
absolutely.
Does Adam Silver, who lives in his Manhattan apartment and never leaves New York, is that what the story he wants to tell? I don't know. All right, let's take a quick break. We come back, we'll get into the list. Want to get Tim's thoughts on the draft, also talk a little bit more NFL. We'll do that when we come back right here during hour number two on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Each and every day here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, we do a little thing called the list. George, let's fire it up. The NFL draft. All right, Tim, it turns out we as Americans like the NFL draft. According to Adam Schefter, the 2025 NFL draft in Green Bay was seen by an average audience of 7.5 million viewers across ESPN, ABC, NFL Network, ESPN2, ESPN Deportes, and digital channels for the three-day event, making it the second most watched draft behind only the 2020 draft and up 27% from last year. Now, this is obviously coming through a lot of the NFL's own PR. I do have this question. How much do you think the Shador storyline sustained the whole weekend?
I think it helped, certainly. You know, that was the topic going into Friday, and then it was kind of just the head-scratching nature of he's still available heading into Saturday. I think it really helped Friday. In prime time, the curiosity of when he could go. Would he go 40? Would he go, you know, in the 30s to Vegas? It was the anticipation of when these picks continue to go. It was like, okay, 83, here it is, Pittsburgh. Oh, wait, not going to go there. So I think that helped. I don't know how much it helped on Saturday, to be honest. I could be wrong. You know, I was hosting a show Saturday morning. We talked about it a lot. But Saturday NFL draft coverage, it kind of feels like background noise. You have it on.
Are they even announcing the picks at the podium? Like, I was trying to, because I was driving down. Like,
yeah.
Because they did, honestly, the giveaway for me that Shador was actually getting picked was they cut in to actually show the podium. You know what
right.
I mean? Like, and
well, it's
we
clearly
have,
like, they clearly were like, oh, he's getting picked now.
Right. Like, they had a sound bite and every, like, you know, like they had everything ready to go so that he's getting drafted.
I mean, look, it doesn't surprise me that the NFL, shocker, had success with an event. You know, 200,000+ people went to Green Bay, Wisconsin to watch names be announced, but that's just where we are. I think Shador 100% helped, but if Shador's not in this draft, is there still a level of interest? I think so, but he definitely helped. And I think,
well, see, like, that's kind of the question I have, because I don't know how you felt. I was way more into last year's draft than I was into this year's draft. And I say that as someone that loves the draft. When the draft came on, I was happy to go. Like, ready to roll. I love watching the draft. But, like, it kind of shocked me that it was this much bigger than last year, because it felt like last year it's like, oh, this was kind of a reminder of how big of a deal it was. But maybe that was just because you remember everything getting turned upside down when the Falcons took Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah, I'll agree with that, which is I'm surprised that this was up 27% from a year ago when you had a draft where the first 6 out of the first 12 picks are quarterbacks, and you know, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Heisman Trophy winner, and you know, and then you get another quarterback selected at 12, and this was not a quarterback driven event. But you did have the trade up with Travis Hunter, which I think
yeah, that's true.
Interest.
And like right off the bat,
right? You had about the hour leading up, like, whoa, we might remember, because this was the first draft since what, like Joe Montana went to the Chiefs, that we hadn't had a trade. All 32 teams were scheduled to make their pick, and that wasn't the way it ultimately played out.
I didn't even have that note. That's an insane note.
Yeah, it was like, I think it was the
first time.
Was
this like 94? That's like basically 30-something years.
George, look it up, because I think it was like, first time in 30-plus years that entering draft day, every single team had their pick. Right, because the Browns hadn't picked in 3 years because of the Deshaun Watson trade. And, you know, there had just been previous. Look, next year we already have a first-round pick, that two first-round picks that are gone, right? Because the Jacksonville Jaguars traded a first-rounder, and then Atlanta traded a first-rounder to get back in to get James Pierce Jr. So I was intrigued by this draft. I always am, though. And it wasn't – yeah. Because it really wasn't sexy coming in outside of the Shador angle. But I think the Shador buildup for Friday really helped. And then I don't know what the numbers were for Saturday, but I think the fact that it was a back-to-back night and, you know, the topic heading into Friday night's coverage was Shador, and they got to hold on to that all night long. And even at 98 and 99, look, I'm walking my dog. I'm watching the NFL draft, wondering if the Raiders at 98 and 99 are going to pick him. You know, so I think that certainly helped. I don't want to give Shador all the credit for a 27% jump, but I certainly do think it helped.
Well, like, that also got me also thinking, is Friday better than Thursday? Because, like, obviously, the first round element is always going to be, these are the better players. But maybe as a TV viewing experience, it could be, because the thing that I love about Friday, man, is like, it rolls.
Yeah, it's fast. You know,
they drag out Thursday. Like, Thursday is the ultimate, like, the NFL doing what the NFL does, which is celebrate itself. And that's fine. Like, we all acknowledge it. And clearly, those are the better players. Those are the guys that are more likely to impact. And I understand all that. But I think, kind of just as like, I'm just watching the draft, I think I kind of like Friday better.
I think Thursday is better, because as the 3 months go on, you pretty much know everyone who's picked. Like, you and I obviously know it a little bit more, but even the casual fan, I would say, because of everything that's been discussed, probably knows a good chunk of the guys that are drafted. You know, late, obviously, like Tyleek Williams, who was a stretch, the D tackle out of Ohio State, or Josh Connerly Jr., things like that. People may have been checked out at that point. But the second and third round, I think, is just like, it's just boom, 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 right? It's just flying off the board. It's like, here we go.
Yeah.
First pick up, Carson Schwesinger from UCLA, and pick is back in. It was just, yeah, it's just, it goes fast for sure.
It's bullets flying. Well, then that was the other thing. I feel like we maybe do this every year, but I need to start cataloging it better. You know what? You know what discourse I'm just out on? Going to the draft analysts. How do you look at yourself? Like, you should be embarrassed. Like, honestly, I wanted to say to Kyle Brandt today, even though he'd beat the crap out of me, I'm embarrassed that you're embarrassed for the draft analyst. Like, when he was doing that whole, like, it's the low-hanging fruit, it's the easy thing. Like, they get it wrong. But you know what? That's the other thing. If you go and you look it up, Mel Kiper gets more right than you realize. Like, yeah, it's not an exact science. Even if you put other NFL GMs, they don't know what's going to happen. You know why? That's when they start panicking and making trades. Like, I can't believe this guy's here. I'm going to take this guy. Like, I'm just out on the whole, these guys should be embarrassed. They're paid to give us their analysis. Like, by the way, I think at a certain point, most people were telling us, I don't think Shador Sanders is a first rounder. Now, I think what is true is, I think a lot of them said, like, I don't really have the nuts to sit there and go, man, I think this guy's really a day three guy, and I'm not going to stick my neck out and say, I think he's a day three guy. Because if you say he's a day three guy and you're wrong, you look worse than if you go, hey, my evaluation had him a lot better than this. I don't know what you want me to say. Like, I had him evaluated better. I'm just kind of out on the whole, like, let's tar and feather all the draft analysts.
So I think it was, I don't know how many years ago it was, Russillo, he might have been at ESPN Radio still at the time when he made the rant, and I could not have agreed with him more, which is so many of your frat bros think they're smarter than Mel Kiper and Todd McShay and Daniel Jeremiah. And it's like, all right, man, go up there, because if you listen to the NFL Network or ESPN on Saturday, as soon as that pick, Rich Eisen's like, all right, DJ, this guy was picked. And it's just like, boom, right into it. Like, those dudes.
Like, they don't just give you the bio of this kid. Like, they tell you.
Oh, yeah, he went to Iowa State and he had to touchdown reception against BYU.
Like, this is what I like about
BYU.
The kid, and they're all just doing it off the dome.
Right? Like, I thought
Kiper. I can remember Nate Oates' name today. Like, you know what I mean?
Look, let's be honest here. I saw the thing you're referring to from Kyle Brandt, and it wasn't really pointed at the Jeremiahs of the world. It was pointed at Kiper.
It was pointed at everything. Was pointed at Mel
and Kiper went over the deep end, right? Like he did.
I would also point out this is why he's Mel Kiper.
And also, like I said this, and I think it was Schrager. Like, Mel Kiper is the reason the draft is what it is. Like,
I don't know if the draft would, eventually the NFL would have figured it out, because they do. The NFL draft would not have been televised for as long and for as many hours if Mel Kiper doesn't exist.
And, like, it's funny how we crucify, once again, he went over the top, and then he gave the Browns an A+ on their draft.
I mean, he even made Reese Davis. Reese Davis is like the most unflappable guy. He did make I'm not saying Mel was without sin, but like, I don't know. It's the easiest cheap win on the planet is after a draft to be like, see,
and
you guys
like,
are
oh,
idiots. You don't know.
He had Jimmy Clausen as a first round pick. And it's like, yeah, they get it wrong. You know who also gets it wrong? NFL teams every year. Like, 50% at best of these quarterbacks hit in the first round. Like,
I think it probably bats about 50% all first rounders, period.
Right. And that's why, like, the draft grades, and I know why people have to do them. It's we live in a world where people want instant results. So you've got to do it. The 2026 NFL mock drafts. McShay forever has said it's the exercise he hates the most, but it also is the most read thing he ever does every year. And he's like, it honestly is unfair to the kids because I haven't done my full evaluation on them yet. And then they head into their college football season like, oh, I'm a first round pick going into 2026. But I want to circle back to this. So Daniel Jeremiah, Todd McShay, and Dane Brugler, I would say, from an evaluation standpoint, are three of the best. I'm not saying they are the best, but they're three of the best. And they graded out Shedeur Sanders. Jeremiah had him 20th, McShay 21st, Brugler 34th. That's where they had him. And they weren't in on the interviews. Those guys, and they'll say it, right? Like, they all will say, we evaluate the player. We don't know anything about the interviews. We hear things, but they evaluate the player. Will Johnson, for example, was a guy that was looked at as like the 15th or 16th best player. He dropped to 47 because of injury. So I think the drop to the fifth round to 144 was a bit excessive. That all being said, I kind of understand why it happened. Once the drop happened, and now you're looking at a guy who is as high profile as Shedeur is, and we talked about this on Friday a bit, do you want a guy like that to be your backup quarterback? Is he going to accept the role? Because it's a unique role, right? Chase Daniel made a life out of it, being in the league for a decade.
It is truly you exist to be seen, not heard.
That's a hard job for these guys.
It's the ultimate, like, when Tim Tebow got cut by the Broncos, are you telling me that there are teams out there that didn't say, you know what, We could kind of use a backup that's got some experience. You know what? We can kind of run some gadget plays with him. He's enough. He's interesting enough. But everyone sat there and said the same thing. Like, we can't deal with everything that comes with this. Like, he's not going to be our starting quarterback. We don't want to deal with it. It's exactly what happened.
But what I am a bit surprised about is on Friday night, it's funny, I talked about this on Saturday. So I had two bets on where Shedeur Sanders would land. Pre-draft, I had the Steelers at plus 650. And then after, on Friday morning, I added the Raiders at plus 350. And when it picked 83 rolled around, I'm sitting there and I'm watching the draft. My wife's looking at me and she's like, why are you so excited? I'm like, this is where he's going to go. He's going to go 83. We're going to cash this ticket. And then they pick Caleb Johnson, the running back out of Iowa. And I'm like, yeah. Damn. And then for a second, I thought.
By the way, I kind of thought that was a good pick.
Well, no. I go, damn. And then immediately I'm like, that was their second pick of the NFL draft. And they just picked the replacement to Najee Harris, a insanely productive running back who, by the way, I already bet him to win Offensive Rookie of the Year at 50-1. I'm like, I would make that pick over Shedeur Sanders unless you truly were. Look, here's the thing. If the Steelers were convinced that Shedeur Sanders was going to be the guy, they would have taken him 21st. They may have traded up to get him, right? But they weren't convinced of it.
I don't even think the Steelers. I think you would say, I mean, how many teams really feel great about their quarterback spot? Half, maybe? Maybe?
And I said
half,
it,
half the teams in the league don't feel good about it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And I also, like, and maybe this is going to be the ultimate eat crow type of draft. It's possible. Like, I remember when Stephon Diggs dropped to the fifth round. And I was like, damn, he's pretty good. He's productive. Why'd he drop all the way to the fifth round? And he immediately was an impact player with the Minnesota Vikings, right? So I don't know what the future holds for Shedeur, but I also think this, him going to Cleveland as opposed to, let's say, I don't know, what if like in the fourth round, the Niners were like, he's too good to pass up. We'll just take him to be our backup quarterback. He's probably buried there behind Brock Purdy for a while, but he's got a legitimate shot to be the starter in Cleveland. Flacco.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing you could say is, I don't know. I know Stefanski's from the fraternity. I don't have Stefanski in the high. Like, I would rather. I don't think Stefanski's as good as like Kevin O'Connell. I don't think he's as good as Shanny. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the problem is I never know how much is Kevin Stefanski's fault versus how much is the Browns have just been horrifically run. Because that was the other story to me of this draft, and see if you agree. Is this because the draft is being covered better? Is this because teams are aware of information that's out there and they're more risk averse? I feel like we have consistently more teams that feel like they're not doing dumb stuff in the draft anymore. Like, top to bottom, I feel like you realize, like, when teams are making picks, even if it's not your team, you're like, I kind of like that guy. Like, I kind of like that guy. Like, and so I don't know if this is confirmation bias or if maybe the fact that, like, the draft is covered better. Like, it feels to me like more people that are used to saying, I hate my team, I hate who we drafted, I feel like more people this year are like, I don't know, man, like I kind of like my team's draft. And I'm not just saying this as a Giants fan. I feel like so many people, I feel like, are like, I kind of liked our draft, man.
Well, I think it's because we have just more, we cover the Senior Bowl now. We have a lot of people that once the season ends, you know, Jeremiah and all of these people are on television telling you that Gray Zabel, the guard out of North Dakota State, is probably going to be a pretty good plug-and-play starting guard. And Seahawk fans are like, okay, yeah, okay, Gray Zabel. Yeah, I like that pick. Instead of like, I just want a wide receiver or a guy who's a quarterback or someone who scores touchdowns. So I think there's a little bit of that. But I want to go back to, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn.
No, go ahead.
But who was the guy that I continue to say I thought Shedeur reminded me of? From a skill set standpoint.
you are on this from, I feel like this was months ago, Kirk Cousins.
Yes. And now he gets to go play for the offensive coordinator of Kirk Cousins in Minnesota, right? Like, I think this makes a ton of sense. And I don't know, like, I don't know one thing about
Shador. I think the one thing, though, is, I guess the one, let's go back, because I think you're right. The weird thing about all of this is,
I just don't know why they picked Dylan Gabriel third round.
That's the weirdest thing. I think if you literally just look at everything that the Browns did, if you just scratch off that Dylan Gabriel pick, everything kind of makes a lot of sense. Like,
yeah, first, like trading back out of
two. We're all in agreement, the trade that they made, and they don't get enough credit for this, they made the entire universe believe that the only person that was in their eye was Travis Hunter. And because of that, they got an absolute haul for that spot in a non-quarterback. And Trav, I think all of us are in agreement. We love Travis Hunter, the football player, but that is an absolute haul for a non-quarterback. And everything they did makes sense except for Dylan Gabriel, which leads me to believe it's like, if every single one of these moves makes sense, but this one doesn't, it has to be tied to ownership somehow, some way. Like, I don't know if it was the Haslams coming in, like, we need at least one young quarterback, and they're like, we're not taking Shador. We'll take Dylan Gabriel. Like, they're like, we gotta turn this in. And then in the fifth round, like, the Haslams peeking in, being like, Shador's still here. We're gonna take that now. That's the only thing that makes sense to me, right? Because nothing else. There's no other explanation you can give me that I'm like, all right, I buy that.
The Dylan Gabriel selection at 94, yeah, it's baffling. And the fact that they still took, like, to your point, if pick 94 just never happened and they picked Shador at in the fifth at 144, because they traded up to get him, right? They traded back up to 144.
Yeah, I don't remember how far back, but they
traded up like 20 spots, I think.
I was listening on the radio coverage, and they go, "We've just received word that Cleveland is moving up," and I looked at my wife and I was like, "They're getting Shador." Like, I was like, "They're setting this up to get Shador."
I mean, here's the thing, right? Let's go back a second here. So the Cleveland Browns trade out of two, they get a future first, they get a second round pick. I think they got a fourth. They also gave Jacksonville a couple of picks. But the big ones were they got 36 and next year's first. And they arguably got the third best player in the draft. Top five, yeah. Pretty much consensus in Mason Graham. Which, by the way, was also, I think we talked about on Friday, a losing bet for your boy, because Mason Graham was definitely not going to the Jaguars at five, but then he did go number five to the Browns. Regardless.
Yeah, that was tough.
So now you've got Mason Graham comes in, starter. Carson Schlesinger, who was this late riser, cool story, super productive linebacker. Sounds like he's going to be a starter day one. They get Quinshon Judkins, who I probably would have picked Travion Henderson over him, but regardless, they got a really good running back in a deep running back class. And then,
yeah,
they get
so George and I talked about this because George is an Ole Miss grad, and I obviously have covered Ole Miss. I was like, what does Amari and Hampton do that Travion Henderson doesn't? Because I'm kind of have the Travion. George has pointed out when you go and you look at the numbers, Travion's not great between the tackles.
But I mean, to that point as well, that also wasn't his role. Ohio State almost always had another back.
No, I mean, like,
back.
You look at, like, Judkins. Like, if you're saying, why pick Judkins? Like, if you're going to run zone and, like, Judkins is – I trust Judkins to get three tough yards more than I do Travion Henderson.
Yes.
I say that as someone that would have preferred to have Travion Henderson.
But then they add Dylan Sampson, too.
Yep.
And they added
Harold
Fannin.
Zone runner.
And then they added Harold Fannin Jr. to pair up with David Njoku. I mean, they're going to play 12 personnel just all day long. And
how do you protect a team that doesn't have a quarterback?
Right. Yeah. I mean, and we know the defense is good, right? The Myles Garrett situation got figured out. They're going to keep him. So, yeah, it's. the Browns are going to be interesting. And, I mean, I talked about it on my show over the weekend because I think ultimately Shador's going to be wildly overvalued in the Offensive Rookie of the Year market. And I think I already saw like 15% of the bets at DraftKings are on Shador to win Rookie of the Year, which is not a surprise. But, I mean, you look at that depth chart and you're like, kind of feels like he's going to get a start at some point. If he's not a complete and utter head case, which maybe he is, but I mean, I think he's going to get a start, I would think.
It seems to me likely that this is the scenario. Their starter's either going to be Flacco or Pickett, which, you know what I mean? Because, like, those are the guys that have played the most. Like, those are the guys that are going to be the most experienced. So their starter coming out is going to be that one of those two. Do any of us have faith that either of those guys will start 17 games this year? Because my answer would be no.
I don't think one of those guys is on the roster.
I think whoever doesn't wind up winning the job, you try to put him up and be like, hey, who needs a backup or who needs some insurance? Come take some insurance. I think that was partly part of the design. And then the only way that I see like that he doesn't get any starts is if like they're turning it to Dillon Gabriel. And I mean, remember, this is the organization that did look people in the mirror and start DTR. Like, so if they get into a position where, like, to me, the best case scenario for them is if the Jags are just going to be in position to get the number one pick, so they don't have to worry about their version of it, so they can play to win. But like, what happens if this team is sitting there at 3-12 with two games to go, and they're in the Arch Manning sweepstakes? Like, you really think that they're going to try to win, or are they going to do what I suspect? They're going to find out where DTR. They're going to dust off DTR's phone number and be like, "Hey, buddy, we need you again. Come do what the Browns need you to do."
Or maybe that's why you drafted Dillon Gabriel.
Yeah, but like, that's the other thing. Dillon Gabriel can throw it well enough. Like, you and I have watched a lot of DTR. DTR missing throws was not news to us. But I mean, I agree with you. I think if you made me bet, does he get starts this year? I would bet yes, but I'm with you. The people that are lighting their money on fire going, he's going to win Rookie of the Year. Like, realistically, how many starts do you think he would have to win Rookie of the Year? 14?
With Cam Ward starting every game and Ashton Jeanty and some running backs,
because I don't think Dart's not going to start.
Nope.
But you're right. With Cam, like Cam, now, like, I do think I would rather start for the Browns than for the Titans right now, which is a sentence I can't believe I just uttered, but I believe that.
Look, I mean, and two of them, granted, were long shots, but I already bet two players to win Rookie of the Year, both at 50-1, and that's R.J. Harvey, the UCF running back who got drafted by the Broncos, and Sean Payton was drooling over him in the press conference. Granted, I get it. It's everyone's awesome. The seventh round pick. Oh, listen, we had him graded in the fourth round, and we got him in the seventh. I get it. But I think when I look at the depth chart in Denver, kind of feels like R.J. Harvey's going to be the guy. Unlike Amari and Hampton, I don't think we talked enough about it. Maybe I just need to trust Harbaugh, but like, you spent a first-round pick on Amari and Hampton, you signed Najee Harris this offseason? Okay.
Yeah, and, I don't know. I guess I view it, and maybe this is just like you said.
Dobbins today.
Maybe it's just that was going to be another, what's going on here? Two UFAs got tendered today. Like, the league is clearly thinks that they're figuring out something. But to answer your question, I just kind of view like, you know, even when Harbaugh was at Michigan, like, two backs are getting carries. Like, what, it was Edwards and who was our other boy?
Which
who
one?
Who was our bruiser?
For the Chargers?
No. His last year at Michigan. Like, I feel like every year at Michigan, he always had two backs.
Blake Corum?
Yes, Blake Corum.
Corum. Yeah, Corum and Edwards. Like, we had that. And yes, I get to your point, it's a little different running styles. But I think that's the deal. It's like, hey, man, I've been preaching to y'all for a long time. Like, Herbert is not somebody that you can just say, this guy's going to win the game on his own. You're going to give your running backs a lot of carries. And so I think it's honestly just like, hey, man, remember when the Panthers had Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo? Like, 2,000-yard rushers. Like, I just kind of view it like rock, and, like, that's just the way it is.
And then I think Caleb Johnson is going to be the guy in Pittsburgh. He was their second pick of the draft. Some people had him evaluated as the third.
The guy that runs like that, is he just going to be dead week three?
Maybe.
But I do think he's an awesome running back. But, like, the upright.
But back to your question about Shador, right? And also, is Tyler Shuck going to start right away in New Orleans? Kind of feels that way.
We've got Derek Carr at, like, church services in Vegas. I don't know. Did you go to the church service?
I went later in the day, so I missed.
What was the buzz? Like, it sounded like he was like saying, like, I had shoulder surgery.
I have risen with my shoulder. It's the most Derek Carr thing ever.
That is at church in Vegas, when we found out about his shoulder. That was very much on brand. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, let's take a look at the markets for tonight. We'll do that when we come back right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, Tim, before we take a look at tonight's splits and splits and other information, we got this from a listener. Bobby in Midtown says, I'm new to online wagering, so maybe you can help me out with this one. I have a $25 four-team money line parlay. Three of the four have already hit, with the Knicks money line remaining tonight. I can cash out for $141 on a $25 bet or wait for the Knicks, and if they win, the payout is $266. What does the book say? So, obviously, this is a philosophical question, right, Tim? It's a question of, do you believe in the hedge? Do you believe in the payout? I'm very gun-shy of telling people what to do with their money, but I'm a big no-hedge guy. I don't know how you sit down. Like, I'm a big, in general, no-hedge guy. Like, I know how to do the math and whatnot. So tonight, I think the only thing I would do is I would just take – what's the Pistons money line tonight?
So, here, let me run through it real quickly. So
– all right. Because your options are take the payout. To me, your options are take the payout or take the Pistons money line.
I actually think there's two options, and it's not the cash out. Cash outs are not – are structured for you just to say, I don't want to mess around with this anymore, right?
So, correct. They're offering you for a reason.
So here you go. So simple math. Cash outs, $144. So you would, I assume, get your $25 back. So that would get you up to what, $169. If you go money line,
I think the way he's typing it, I think he's saying the cash out would be $144, and I think that includes the $25. That's
right,
my.
Well, that even makes it more simple. So if you put $100 bucks, so you could just go two routes. If you want no sweat whatsoever, guaranteed cash money. Put $100 down on the Pistons money line, which is around plus 185. You are going to win $185 there, or you're going to win 266 minus 100, so 166. So you're kind of in that same ballpark.
Right.
The second would be the middle opportunity, and you could play this two ways. You could take the Pistons right now plus 5.5 at whatever price you want to put down on your particular bet, and if the Knicks win by 1 to 5 points, you win both bets, right? You win the Knicks bet, yep. You win your parlay, and you win the Pistons. Or if you really want to get adventurous, you can see how this game starts, and you could see if you can get the Pistons in game at 10.5, 11.5. Now, from reading this particular tweet, it sounds like this gentleman is more of the newer betting, which is fine. I'm not...
Yeah, listen, we're not shaming.
So I would say you either do twofold. If you just want to chill back and say, I got a $25 bet, turned it into $100 plus, take the Pistons on the money line, you wipe your hands clean, you're coming home with $100 plus of some sort. Or what I would personally do, get a little more risky, I would take the Pistons on the spread at, like, you know, he's what, $25, so whatever you want to do.
You'd lay down probably whatever, 30 to win 25, right?
Yeah, or yeah, whatever you want to do. If you want to, you know, get a little frisky, you could do like 110 to win 100, however you want to play it. But I would personally try to middle it, because you have a decent size window there to try to middle it here. And based off also how this series has kind of played out.
Yeah, these have been close games.
These have been close games, so I think the middle option is pretty enticing there. So that's the way I would go. I would not cash out. I would either just, as you said, just take a money line play, or I would go, personally, I would try to middle this.
I don't hate that idea of middling. Again, the only shame in being a young gambler is not asking the questions.
Yeah.
And we want people to be informed. We don't want you to make dumb decisions.
Like, look, you just want to hit the cat, I mean, I'll say this. You made the bet for a reason. I am not, you are much more in the never hedge category. I am not of that mindset. At the end of the day, you're trying to win money, and that's what we're all trying to do. You have set yourself up to ensure that you're going to make money here. It's just how aggressive you want to be. Do you want to go money line and just wipe your hands clean and say, I'm done, I got my cash, I know I'm winning, or I would try to be a little bit more adventurous, because you could end up making, you know, north of $300 on a $25 bet.
All right, let's take a look at tonight, because we got four games tonight, three of which are at 3-1, and we got two of the nastiest dogs I think I've ever seen in the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, the Bucks are pretty gross.
The Bucks and the Magic are Tim Murray specials, but are you actually going to pull the trigger?
I have it on the Bucks.
You're going to pull the magic trigger. I know that is such a nasty dog. I can just smell it.
I mean, the Bucks, I think, is grosser.
yeah, but like the injury, like, you know, like they may also be done.
Right. Because you do have to keep in mind, like, what happened last night, right?
Right.
A team down 0-3, taking on the Cavaliers, lost by a billion.
Yes. Which, so, by the way, I respect under no circumstances were the Heat getting on a plane, unless they were getting on a private plane going to wherever they were vacationing.
Yeah, that was that thing was toast. So, looking at the betting splits, this is pretty interesting. This is courtesy of DraftKings over at VSiN.com. 78% of the bets are on the Pacers tonight, but also 90% of the money. Pistons Knicks is pretty much split, 53% of bets, 51% of money on the Knicks. So yeah, a little bit more money on the Knicks, but pretty much split, which doesn't shock me. The Magic are only getting 39% of bets, which
I can't believe it's that much.
Only makes some sense considering
they're offering a lot of points.
And then the one that I think is pretty fascinating is this. The Clippers tonight. Nuggets are getting 52% of the bets. Clippers are getting 78% of the money. And then on the money line, Nuggets are getting 58% of the bets. Clippers are getting 77% of the money. And that's just kind of indicating that it seems like the bigger bets, the sharper bets, probably are in on the Clippers. That's the way
Are people taking the zigzag theory to the ultimate, right? Because we've had four games and literally it's flip-flopped every game. No. Clippers won 2 and 3 back-to-back, right?
Correct, yeah. Game one went to the Nuggets. Clippers won game two. Clippers crushed game three and then lost game four.
Are people not scared of James Harden? Like, we have a lot of data that suggests as a series goes on, he doesn't get better.
Oh, yeah. The James Harden game feels like it's inevitable. And also, the Clippers being the Clippers is inevitable.
Yeah.
They're better than the Nuggets. Like, once again, game four.
But the series is tied. Like, exactly. You're making your point. Like, yes.
No. Look, I have a pre-series position. When the series price opened, it was like Clippers, like, plus 130. I got it at plus 120. It closed as them the favorite. They've been the favorite, I think, in every game.
Yes, they were. Maybe
not game one.
Maybe not game one, because I think they lost and covered in game one.
Yes, that's right. Yes. So they lost and covered game one. They were the favorite in game two, and they won.
Because everyone thought they were going to zigzag, yeah.
And then they were the favorite in games three and four, and they're the favorite tonight. I think the Clippers win tonight. I have a, like I said, series price, so I'm not going to bet it.
Yeah. I'm now at the point where I might just, like, start hedging that. Like, if I'm a no-hedge guy, but, like, game to game. Maybe I'd think about the Nuggies. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll tell your story next right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, we got to go to an all-time great, Joey Brackets, Joe Lunardi, and so it begins. Men's Bracketology, the 2026 NCAA Tournament field is live over at ESPN.com. For all the talk about bad losses in March, Purdue's been remarkably consistent. He then has like three paragraphs of why he has Purdue the number one overall seed. That's unbelievable stuff. I love it.
Purdue's going to be really good this year.
All right, my man. We'll talk to you again on Friday.
See you, dude.
That is Tim Murray of VSiN. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. As always, want to thank George for handling things back at the studio. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show's coming up next.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Audacy podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.